We now know more about the governor's plan for the pre-travel testing program for Hawaii's incoming travelers, which starts next Thursday. Governor Ige emphasized that protecting public health and bringing the coronavirus under control is crucial to reviving the economy and strengthening Hawaii's community. He rolled out details which included limited use of a second test.
This is the biggest single effort since the pandemic began to begin to revive our economy. We don't expect a rush of travelers next week. Most of the airlines have announced that they will not increase their flight schedules until November 1st, and hotels are reopening gradually through the month of December. Nonetheless, all of the partners who are involved with this pre-travel testing program, government, airlines, private sector, hospitality industry, and other businesses are using the October 15th date to focus our efforts on ensuring the health and safety of our community, improving and implementing measures and operational changes to improve testing, contact tracing capabilities, and other measures to ensure that we can bring trans-Pacific travelers back to the islands in a safe way that does not put our community health at risk.
You know, we talked to the Hotel Workers Union this morning. Local 5 leader Eric Gill has been asking that the union sit at the table for talks about reopening. Absent of that, he's asked hoteliers to spell out protocols and protections for union members as they are called back to work. The union estimates it has about 500 of its more than 11,000 members back on the job. It's also asking for help from the city council to support its efforts to require hotels to post their safety protocols.
There were a couple of bills before council that apparently have advanced through the first hearing and go to the Executive Matters Committee. Both of them are of interest to us. We're trying to get government agencies to weigh in a positive way for workers in this whole scene. And so the Bill 80 is something that we very much are interested in, primarily actually for people who are not in our union. Bill 80 is about employers making a commitment to bring workers back, as opposed to firing them and bringing somebody else back, or bringing somebody else back as a subcontractor, or making long-term workers reapply and start as new workers, you know, thereby shedding, you know, benefits and all that. And so, you know, it seems to me that this is something that the community should require, you know, that employers actually take people back when they get back into business and don't just leave them on the trash heap after years of service. So this is something that we're very interested in, that the council is passing forward. There's another measure there that addresses the question of the arriving visitors and their testing, whether that be a single test, which is the current announcement or pronouncement, or a confirmatory second test, and how is that to be done. So those are both things of interest to us.
What are your concerns at this point, knowing that this is just a week away?
Well, the concern is that the state doesn't have a workable plan to handle a large number of incoming tourists in a safe way. And, there's various elements that are problematic here, you know, and the biggest one and one of the most important ones is that the quarantine can't be effectively enforced, or it isn't being effectively enforced. People don't believe it can be, I think. And so without the quarantine, there's little incentive or push to induce arriving visitors to take the test. And of course, without the quarantine, there's no way to be ensured that any arriving visitor who is positive and contagious is contained and isolated. And so, you know, the incoming testing and the quarantine problem is certainly a basic problem. From our point of view, at least as significant a problem, if not more, is that hotels haven't adopted or disclosed how they are planning to keep the workforce safe. So obviously an infection can come in through the back door, through the employee's entrance as well, and that has not been well handled yet by our industry. There's not sufficient protections against an outbreak. When there is an outbreak, there aren't sufficient measures in place to deal with it.
All summer long, you have been approaching the hotels to try and get some agreement on what protocols are in place to protect the workers. You have one with Kahala Resort. Talk about that.
Well, what Kahala has done is, first of all, I don't think there's any such thing as exhaustive list of here's everything you got to do, because first of all, it changes over time as events go on, but also new things come up that need to be dealt with. What we have is at Kahala is a process where management and the workers are working together to implement safety measures at the department levels. So Kahala basically came to workers and to the union with its plan, you know, and it basically took its standard operating procedures that have been in place for years and added to them. And we discussed those additions and made appropriate amendments after discussion. And, it, you know, and the workers and managers are applying them into the exact conditions in the shop, you know. So to me, that's what's necessary if we're going to be safe. And nothing can be 100% safe, but what you want is you want the people who have the biggest interest in safety to be in charge of that. And what we've done at Kahala is empower, in essence, workers and department-level managers to address those issues creatively together. And I think, you know, that's the best guarantee that you'll have a good result.
Why haven't the other properties bought into this idea?
Well, I think there's two reasons. You know, the reason, first of all, the big corporations, you know, Kahala is not a Marriott or a Hilton or a Hyatt, and it's not owned by a big private equity concern or a big REIT like most of our other hotels. And so if the owner there and the managers have not joined the cabal, if you will, across the country, in every city, these corporate entities that manage hotels have taken the position they don't have to bargain and will not bargain with the union on this question. And therefore, they haven't, you know, they in general have not produced, as Kahala has, the detailed operating procedures that they intend to do. Now, there's several reasons for this. One, you know, they have a legal argument that they don't have an obligation to bargain. But I think in a broader sense, they don't want to be held to their own standards. In other words, they all say that they have these extensive standards, you know, with all these people that, you know, that a whole list of people they consulted with. The list doesn't include workers or anybody who's actually going to be affected by it, but they have Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinic and all this. But the problem is that those standards don't get followed. So, you know, a list of safety rules that isn't posted, that nobody knows what it is, can't be enforced, and workers can't know if it's being followed or not. And of course, that's what the company doesn't want. They don't want to have to be held accountable to follow their own standards, and therefore they are not wishing to issue them.
Some properties aren't opening until, what, November?
December, January.
So we've got different start dates for the different properties. You folks went out and did an inspection just to see, you know, who's got plexiglass, who's got hand sanitizer.
Yeah, most of the hotels have waited, in fairness to the hotel. They're not making any money. Nobody's staying there. They're losing money. The owners are paying money in taxes and utilities and so on. Without any money coming in. So they're hesitant to put the money into cleaning up the place and getting everything ready until they know they're going to do that, which is why they've been so anxious to have a date out of the governor so that they can time these things. So, you know, some hotels that are planning to open are starting to bring workers back, and that's fine. We want to go back to work. But obviously, we also want to have a discussion about safety, and some of the hotels that are planning to open have been dodging that question. You know, so of course it's a concern to us because workers not knowing in detail what their safety measures should be according to the company. I mean, even according to the company's own policies, are understandably nervous about returning to work. And I think it's most of the members are not, you know, they're not saying, oh, I don't want to get sick. Most of the members that are concerned for their parents or young children or people in their families. They don't want to bring anything home and spread it into their families and thereby into the community. And of course, this is a major concern. You know, and of course, also, you know, those hotels that are recalling people that were laid off are usually recalling them in order of seniority, and that means the older workers go back first. And those are the ones who are most individually, personally at risk. So it's just, it's a terrible situation for workers to have to go back to work in the middle of a pandemic without clear assurances that, you know, clear and credible assurances that their safety will be adequately attended to.
You are asking that the hotel pay for the tests, for the COVID tests?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's so much attention on testing arriving visitors and no attention at all on testing workers. And in fact, most of the corporate hotels have taken the position, you know, to me directly and to others across the country that they're not going to do tests. They're not going to pay for tests. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to see why they, you know, don't want to do it, because the testing is not a trivial expense at all. And until there is a much cheaper test, most of the employers are not going to test their workers. So only a few are, you know, most of these companies that are calling people back are not testing workers prior to, you know, upon their return. And there's no plan anywhere that I know that will test workers on a regular basis thereafter. And so what you have is you have all this attention to the front door and making sure that arriving, you know, visitors don't bring COVID in. But COVID's already in and around, and it's around in our communities. And most of the outbreaks have been community transmission. So the notion that we can just pay attention to the front door and ignore the back door is, you know, it's just epidemiologically foolish. And it's driven, of course, by money, like most other things that go wrong. But we're in that situation now where the government really does need to set some standards, since the industry has not been good about setting common standards and informing people about them and, you know, discussing them when they need discussion and amending them as needed to, you know, to suit the situation.
How do you propose dealing with the backdoor issues? I mean, should that be the hotel's responsibility?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it is. You know, the problem is that hotels, not a trivial concern. You know, for Kahala, for example, if they were to bring everybody back and test them every week, that'd be $50,000 a week, according to, you know, some of the current costing of the test. And so the cost of the test is a problem, and the amount of tests is still a problem. After 6 months, the government has still not solved this problem. So the state only has a certain amount of tests, and if they're going to test, but, you know, do the tests they need in the schools and the universities, and, you know, how much is left over for workers or even visitors. And so, you know, they're struggling with these real issues, and we can all agree that they should have been solved before now, but they weren't. And so now we have a situation where there's still not enough tests to go around, and we're talking about bringing thousands of people in, and it's a real problem.
When do you think your workers will start to be called back, or have they already been?
Well, there's a few hotels that are planning to open in October, and therefore they're starting to call people back in. And so we will, you know, here we are having 6 months wanted to be engaged and talk about the safety and the training and make sure that everything's set. Now, having blown that 6 months, now they're starting without having done any of that. So here we are, you know, Hyatt's going to open, and we still haven't seen anything from them. So it's not very clear what they're going to train workers on, how they're going to train them, you know, what procedures they're going to be instituting and how those will be implemented. And so, you know, now we all have to scramble. This is what I was worried about. You know, we had 6 months to talk this thing through, and now we don't have any time to talk it through. And so mistakes are going to be made. And it's unfortunate for everyone, but that's the situation we're in. You know, what's happened here is the governor has attempted to get a consensus on our industry in tourism on how to do this, and has been disappointed that the industry has not been able to come to a consensus, even on the management side, much less address the issues that we're raising. And so, you know, on the other hand, he's under tremendous pressure to open the hotels and other businesses for the obvious economic reasons that we all can appreciate, right? People need to work. And so once again, the governor and the government is walking down this thin line, and it's easy to fall off on one way or the other. We think that the government needs to put in appropriate measures to ensure that things are at least dealt with. And so we think the government should be requiring hotels and other businesses to be able to post so people can see what their safety measures are. And there should be measures that people can step up and demand that those things be followed.
And that was part of a conversation we had with Eric Gill, head of Local 5. We plan to talk to hoteliers next week.